What up, my loyal ghost freaks? It's your girl Sophie, and welcome to yet another week of It's Just the Pipes, a Basement Buzz podcast that's scary entertaining. So, I know that last week I said that I would be interviewing yet another survivor of the paranormal world for this week's episode, but I changed my mind. Cry about it. Instead, I decided to head in an entirely different direction, and I know that real-life ghost stories are super fun and super creepy to listen to, but I'm not just here to have fun. No, you guys, I'm here to discover the truth, to get to the bottom of this supernatural debate that believers and scientists seem to have been having for decades. And since I do not in any way claim to be an expert on paranormal arguments, I did my research. I dug through the internet to find just about every scientific case for the existence of ghosts. And let me tell you guys, I did not find much. Pretty big fucking bummer, right? But let me share with you what I did find. So, pretty much the strongest argument us believers have for the existence of spiritual energies is the first law of thermodynamics, also known as the law of conservation of energy. It states that energy in our world can neither be created nor destroyed. Therefore, following that logic, it is possible that the energy within our bodies, our souls and very essence, cannot be destroyed when we die. And for those straggler spirits that stick around in the afterlife to fuck with their buddies who are still alive, lol me, we have invented the electromagnetic field detector to sense their presence. For years, paranormal investigators have been using this device in supposedly haunted locations to locate and identify ghostly spirits. They also use thermal readings to detect paranormal energies. And let me tell you, you can look up many a creepy thermal images of real-life ghosts. Highly recommend. Secondly, and unfortunately lastly, my friends, we got our homeboy Gary Schwartz on our side. Gary is the director of the Laboratory for Advances in Consciousness and Health at the University of Arizona. Jesus, that is a long title. And he and his team have been conducting extensive research to debunk the mystery of the supernatural world. He, a scientist, is convinced of the existence of spiritual entities for two major reasons. First, Gary conducted an extremely comprehensive study on the authenticity of mediums who claimed that they could communicate with the spiritual world. In order to do so, he studied a large group of mediums who he would prompt to detect spirits and describe extremely intimate details of their lives on Earth. After fact-checking this private information and ensuring that the medium had no way of researching that information prior to the reading, Gary quickly became convinced that ghosts were real and that some humans were gifted enough to communicate with them. The second reason why Gary is convinced of the existence of spiritual energies is because of photons. Photons are particles representing a quantum of light or other electromagnetic radiation. A photon carries energy proportional to the radiation frequency but has zero rest mass, and is considered to be the very building block of paranormal energies. With very special equipment, Gary is able to capture photons moving in front of and obstructing a light source. In doing so, he can discern a shape of a group of photons and determine whether or not it is in the shape of a human body. Now, while all of this scientific evidence is extremely convincing, nothing is more convincing than the feeling you get when you personally encounter a ghost. The hairs stand up on your arm. Chills run down your spine. You sense a coldness in the air. Inexplicable shit happens. And in general, as a human, you are able to sense when another human is present, whether they are physically tangible or not. No scientific theory can compete with that. And personally, I think we have a lot more to discover about our world. As I said in the very first episode of this podcast, we as humans are given an infinitesimal amount of information about the universe, and there is so much that we will never have the privilege of understanding. So keep your minds open, kids. You never know what's out there or who's watching. But most likely, you all didn't tune in to hear me blather on about science. So I say it's time for the What the Fuck 5. So snuggle up with your favorite comfort blanket and turn all the lights on, because I'm about to scare the living bejesus out of all of you with 5 of the craziest ghost stories ever told. Ghost story number 1. About 20 years ago, my sister, her husband, and I were driving back to her house, going just past a truck stop when an old man stepped out in front of us. Her husband, who was driving, slammed on the brakes and we all started freaking out because the old man had disappeared. My sister and her husband jumped out, thinking they'd just killed the man, but there was nothing there. Cops came along and a few truckers wandered over and told us that it's an almost weekly occurrence. Apparently, there'd been an old man who lived and later died in the house across the road who used to go over to check his chickens every night before bed. Ghost story number 2. I never believed in Ouija boards. I thought they were kind of dumb, silly fun. But a group of kids on a high school band trip when I was a sophomore in high school were using one because it was Friday the 13th, so I decided to try it. So my friend Darcy and I did it together, and as soon as I touched the thing, it started moving really fast. Then it said, "It's Andy. You are beautiful. Tell your mom I miss her and that I'm happy. I love you." My mom had a twin brother, Andy, who died in a car accident when they were 16. I obviously knew this, but had never told anyone. The only other person doing the Ouija board with me was Darcy, and she had no idea who Andy was, and I wasn't moving the pointer. Ghost story number 3. This was a house I lived in during my second year of university. A couple days after moving in, we chatted to an elderly neighbor who had lived in the neighborhood for decades, and she told us that she couldn't remember anyone living in the house for more than 2 years, even when it was more of a residential family neighborhood than student housing. The weirdness started in the kitchen. Several times when I was washing dishes, I'd see someone come in out of the corner of my eye and hear their footsteps as well. Of course, when I turned, there was no one there. Not long after, one roommate started saying she kept feeling a cat jumping up on her bed and walking around at night. We did not have a cat. A friend who was visiting fell down a few stairs and said she swore she felt someone push her. Once I was sitting with a roommate and she put her iPod down on the coffee table. I saw her do this. It was gone when she went to pick it up again. We tore apart the whole room looking for it and it had just vanished. It turned up on the couch a month later. The creepiest incident was when I woke up one morning and my bedside table was 2 feet away from where it had been. I went downstairs and the first thing my roommate, whose bedroom was next to mine, said was, "Did you hear the footsteps last night?" She told me she'd heard me go to bed and about an hour later, a second set of footsteps climbed up the stairs and into my room before stopping. The two of us were the only ones home at the time. She never heard anyone leave my room. Ghost story number 4. This just happened a few months ago and blew my mind. My elderly aunt, 90 plus years old, was not doing well and staying at a nearby hospital when one night I woke up out of a deep sleep. I looked at my clock and it blinked 4 a.m. Not thinking anything of it, I rolled over and immediately fell back asleep. The next thing I know, I'm in a very vivid dream where I'm sitting in my kitchen holding a baby girl. In the dream, I'm consciously aware that it's still 4 a.m., so I'm awkwardly cradling and shushing the baby as to not cry and wake my parents up. Suddenly, there was a knock on the kitchen door and 2 men in 1950s style suits, fedoras, and pencil-thin mustaches were standing outside. Without saying a word, I opened the door and gave the newborn to them, then watched as they walked down the driveway into the darkness. I woke up the next morning and immediately remembered everything about the dream. I went down to the kitchen where my mother greeted me with the bad news. Our aunt passed away last night at 4 a.m. Ghost story number 5. 4 years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and there was a woman in a black dress standing beside my bed. When I sat up, she started to accuse me of having done things that I hadn't done, saying that I had apparently stolen someone from her. I don't know what was going through my head to argue with a ghost, but eventually I decided to ignore her and go back to sleep. She then pulled me out of bed while attacking my body. She suddenly disappeared, and I was so afraid I couldn't go back to sleep. The whole thing felt so real that I was actually sore the next day, especially around my ankles where she had grabbed me while pulling me from the bed. And that's a wrap, you guys. Now I want to hear from all of you. You all know the drill. Leave a comment in the section below stating whether you think these stories are spooky or spoofy. Do you think there were actual paranormal spirits at work? Or do you think it's all a product of our overactive imaginations? Hence, spooky or spoofy? Thank you all so much for listening to the fourth episode of It's Just the Pipes, a Basement Buzz podcast that's scary entertaining. Make sure to use the links on our website to subscribe and follow our Facebook and Twitter accounts for weekly updates. I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Again, I'm your host, Sophie Wilde. Tune in next week, if you dare, for an exclusive interview with a real-life physics major and non-believer of the spirit world. Shocker. And get this, you guys, I'm dating him. Yikes, I know, I'm a traitor. All right, guys, good night and sweet nightmares.